All right, so I want to start off this episode with a weird sort of like internet rabbit hole that I went down the other week. You have that experience, right? Where you start off looking at something and end up somewhere completely unexpected by the end of it.
And then you have mysterious fees on your credit card? Yeah.
No, nothing like that. What have you been doing on the internet?
You end up on like Zoom that. Meetings?
I don't want to know. Okay, so here's how it goes. So I was on Twitter, and one of the women I follow, who's like a cosplayer sort of Twitch streamer sort of person, she posted a video that I guess was a TikTok video, but she posted it to Twitter, and apparently it was some sort of TikTok meme or like trend or whatever that a bunch of people were doing. It was like this dance sort of thing, and I watched the video and it was interesting. It was a, you know, woman dancing, but like I liked the music from it. So I go into the comments trying to see if someone knows what the music is from, or like try to find out more information about this so I can figure out where what I'm listening to. And there's a link in the comments. Someone's like, oh, I think it's probably from this video. So I click on this video and it goes to a YouTube video. And the YouTube video is this like kind of cute but mostly horny animation of anthropomorphized female versions of the Pac-Man ghosts.
I might have seen this video. Yes.
you might be familiar with this. But it was like, you know, it's this weird video and they're like dancing and stuff, but it's the same dance as the girl was doing on the TikTok video. So I'm like, I guess this is where the trend came from. I don't understand TikTok. I don't pay attention to it, whatever. But then I looked and the video's caption or like description or whatever is like, this is the song. And so like, okay. I then clicked on or searched for the name of the song, which it was like a track from a Pac-Man video game. I don't know. I think it's relatively recent, like in the 2010s Pac-Man game, which I guess it makes sense if the dancing Pac-Man ghost girls and dancing to a Pac-Man song, whatever. So I go to the straight video that's just the music, and I look on the comments of that. And like there's assorted comments. Some of them are like, you know, you're only here because of the dancing girl video and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then one of the other comments on the video was some people are here because they're here because of the dancing girl video, but I'm here because of the Cursed Dream video. And of course, this piques my interest. So I'm like, what is this Cursed Dream video that they're talking about? So I look up the name of the song plus Dream, and I discover a fan animated video of four custom Minecraft characters, like in full, like blocky sort of 3D Minecrafty visual, doing the same dance from the horny ghost girl video. And I'm like, I guess this is the Cursed Dream video, because it's like, it was titled like Dream Dance Video or whatever. And I was like, okay, I guess. And then I saw like a link to another one. It was like Dream Video Extended. And I clicked on that. And I think that one's the actual cursed one, because that one has like the characters dancing in like maid outfits and like they change costumes and everything throughout the animation, which was a little bit weirder than just like the flat Minecraft skins dancing. But anyway, so I'm like, all right, so this is a video of these random Minecraft character like skins of people, and this video has a million views. So where did, like, who are these people, and why does a fan animation of their Minecraft character have over a million views? So I look up Dream Minecraft, and I discover that Dream is a YouTuber who has apparently over 11 million subscribers and is like really like popular and that I've never heard of. And he and his friends are Minecraft speedrunners. And they have these videos where Dream has to start with nothing. Like, they do a fresh-seeded Minecraft world, and they say they start with nothing, and he has to get all the way to the Ender Dragon while his friends are hunting him down. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And so, like, if he dies, they win, and if he kills the Ender Dragon, he wins. And, like, so they only have to get him one time. And it is some of the most fantastic stuff I've ever seen, because, like, Minecraft speedrunning is insane. So they're already all, like, know, like, all these tricks and how to do stuff fast in the game. But he's, like, they also, during doing that, he's, like, being chased. And so he's got this, like, hide-and-seek stuff. And they're, like, trying to outsmart him with new plans that he can't counteract. And he's, like, hiding from them and then, like, ambushing them with TNT and killing them. And it is such a fantastic thing. I ended up, like, staying up until 2 a.m. one night watching these different videos, because it was fascinating to see all these speedrunning techniques. And anyway, like, so that's my, and that's, like, that's where it ends. Like, that, I found this new YouTuber that I like, and this cool, like, they call it Minecraft Manhunt, and I think if you look that up, you can find the videos without going through the rigmarole that I did.
So I will say, like, while you were talking, I tried to Google, if you look up horny dancing ghost video, no, don't do it. I mean, you can do it, but you'll end up in a different rabbit hole.
Yeah, don't. I would not recommend doing whatever that is. I don't know where that goes,
because I did not look up. Yeah, the 20th or 25th one is the one where I'm like, that's probably the video you saw, because those guys at least have clothes on.
Yeah, there was not any nudity or actual horniness. I mean, it was horny in the sense of that it was cute animated girls dancing, but, like, it wasn't horny in the sense of, like, naked anything, because it was on YouTube.
It was 2 ghosts, not 4?
No, it was 4.
Okay. It was, like, and it's animated style, like a cartoonish style.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was probably the 25th video. The very first
one. I like how you scrolled through. Like, you had to, did you check each individual one while I was talking?
I just merely looked at the thumbnails as I was going down, noticed a lot of them, took me to Pornhub, where I was like, that's probably not where you went. Where's the YouTube one?
Yeah, I did not end up on that at all. Also, if you are under 18 and listening to this, that is not a website. Those words he spoke, that don't type those into your browser.
Wow, T-Man, you're being a prude now, aren't you?
Look, I am saying if you're under 18, that website doesn't exist.
Wait, if you're under 18, can you not look at porn?
It is illegal to look at porn if you are under 18.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
that is why all porn sites have, like, the you agree you are 18 plus or you are 21 plus, because I think in some countries it's actually 21, not 18. But yeah, like, that's the whole point, is that they're putting that there so they can't legally be held liable if, you know, some 16-year-old finds their website.
I mean, well, I guess I'm not breaking the law for decades now. I mean, yeah, but I never realized, like, I was like, I know it's inappropriate, and, like, but every kid under 18 does that. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not encouraging them to do it. I'm just.
All right. This is why I'm saying the website that you mentioned doesn't exist. And if you're under 18 and listening to this podcast, do not follow anything that Harvey Z just said.
I didn't tell you to do anything, kids. Remember that. Make up your own minds. Vote.
Jesus. It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer.
This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with
Harvey Z in the place to be. I was wondering if you'd pick up on that. You were quiet, and I was like, oh man, maybe he didn't realize, like, 18-year-olds can't, like, if they're under 18, they can't vote. No, and it was like, yes, yes, I broke him.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we had a week off. We didn't record. I'm actually, like, I'm behind on editing the episode that was supposed to go out this week. So what I actually think I'm going to do is going to do a quick turnaround and edit this episode and release it, hopefully by Friday this week, and turn this into the most recent episode, because I want to cover something that happened this week, and I don't want to wait, like, a week or two for it to come out.
And I think I know what it is, because I've been binging all day on it.
Yeah, so we'll just go ahead and jump right in. So I don't think we've actually talked about Among Us on the podcast at all yet, have we?
No, just no. I mean, you've asked me to play in real life like a week ago or two, but that's it.
Yeah, but I don't think we've actually covered it at all on the podcast.
Because it's not been in the news, nothing really. Like, I mean, it's a game that exists out there, but yeah.
I mean, it has risen to popularity, and it has been really popular these last couple months, and a lot of streamers have been playing it. But we've been covering other stuff and, like, talking about other things, and it didn't really intersect with what we were talking about yet, especially because, you know, like, I've only played it myself a couple times. But something kind of big happened last night that warrants talking about. But also, this is a good time to kind of explore the actual game itself, since we haven't really talked about it much before yet. So if you don't know, Among Us is a game that is, like, very simple. It actually came out in 2018.
Oh.
And was, like, released, and there wasn't a big fanfare. Nobody really played it, or, like, it didn't set any worlds on fire. And it's just kind of been hanging out on Steam, like a lot of indie games do. You know, you never actually see them take off. They sell well enough that the people get to make another game, but they're not, nothing like wild ever happens with them. Let me see here. I want to get the name right. So it was in July that a Twitch streamer goes by Soda Poppin. Like, Soda Poppin was the first one to stream it, and he was the one that had the idea to stream it. And Among Us is a multiplayer game. It fits anywhere from 4 to 10 people, but playing it with the most people is the best way to watch it, and, like, most entertaining. So if you play with 10 people, it's good. And so because of that, he had to bring in a bunch of other streamers. He brought in XQC, who is a well-known Overwatch streamer. He brought in a League of Legends streamer, and there's a crossover, you know. So, like, he's bringing in different people to play this one game once, and because it's a bunch of streamers doing it, all their audience sees the game, and then those streamers sort of, like, scatter back out and start and play it once or twice with the people they're friends with. And then, you know, it kind of, like, spreads out like a spider web and starts taking over the Twitch stream community. And there's, like, YouTubers who are super popular who like, bring in a bunch of YouTubers together. There's one guy, Corpse, who, like, does, like, mostly music and, like, horror stuff, who doesn't really play video games for his YouTube channel at all, but he got dragged into it because he's friends with a YouTuber, and now, like, people love watching him play Among Us because he's really good at it. And so it's like a this real sort of worlds colliding, because, like, a bunch of, like, people who I would never watch because they're a League of Legends streamer and I don't watch League of Legends or care about it are now playing Among Us with their other League of Legends friends, or, like, crossing over and, like, playing with other people that they've met through another Among Us stream. And, like, the way the streamers have set it up now is that they have, like, specific Among Us discords, and there's, like, lobbies where, like, the 10 people are playing and they're streaming, and if somebody drops out, they've got, like, a wait list of other streamers who are kind of hanging out and will jump in to like fill. So this like there's like Among Us streams going for like 6 to 7 hours and just like a different cast rotating in and out. And it's become very popular on Twitch. A lot of, you know, variety streamers are adding it to their lineup. A lot of people who don't normally stream those sorts of multiplayer games are like meeting new people. And it's like gotten to a interesting point because it's almost like networking in the sense of a lot of streamers who were more isolated or only played with like certain people are now meeting new people and hanging out, and like new groups and communities are forming, and like fans are also finding new streamers. Like I watched certain Twitch streamers for like specifically for a while, and I've added like I'd say 10 to 20 new streamers in the last like week or two that I've enjoyed simply because I like their personality from watching them play Among Us, and I'd be interested to see what they do when they play other stuff if it's, you know, something I'm interested in. And so it's just been very neat to see this like game that sort of like was just sitting there for 2 years suddenly spring to life out of nowhere because of how interactive and bringing people together the game is. And I realize I haven't actually even explained what the game is yet. I've just explained how it sort of percolated through the Twitch streams. Do you know anything about the game?
Now I do, because basically all afternoon I've been watching various highlights and things from Among Us. It seems to be like a Mafia type game.
It is, yeah. It plays out a lot like Mafia or Werewolf or those sort of hidden agenda games. There you can play it. It's like I said, you can play it from 4 to 10 people, and you can play it anywhere from 1 to 3 imposters. The most used format is 9 to 10 people with 2 imposters. That is usually the most fair, especially with people who have played the game a lot. One imposter is really hard to get away with stuff, even in like a smaller group. And 3 is like too unfairly balanced in the imposters angle, especially because there's only like a couple maps, because like they kept updating the game, but like there's 3 maps and it never took off, so why would they add more stuff to it? But now that it's taking off, they're going to try and add new settings to it and new maps and things like that, or I think they are, according to the developers. There's also a bunch of like mods and beta stuff that they're testing that add variety to the game to make it harder and more fair for people who have played it a lot. But it's standard Mafia. There's imposters and crewmates. The imposters are trying to kill everybody. If they get to the point where there's an equal amount of imposters and crewmates, the imposters win. The crewmates win by either voting all the imposters out or finishing all their tasks. And that's kind of where the Mafia thing is kind of, the formula is kind of tweaked. Because in regular Mafia games, it's mostly discussions. Like, you sit around in a circle, close your eyes, someone is tapped on the head and they're killed, and then people like suss each other out. I know we played Mafia games on like forums where there was a little more to it, where people could like talk and like make arguments over like the course of like a week. I miss playing those. Do you miss playing those?
I had way more free time back then, but yes, I really enjoyed those times.
Yeah, like I don't know if I would be able to play in the way I would like to if I went back and did them now, but I definitely enjoyed playing them with you when we were a part of those forums, especially when they got super wacky and like crazy roles and all that stuff. But anyway, Among Us is basically Mafia, so the tasks add like the video game element to the Mafia breakdown, because you have tasks all around the ship that you have to do as a crewmate. The imposters don't have any tasks, so they have to fake doing them, and you can call people out because they like, what you didn't look like you were doing anything, or you were just standing around and like, I'm not seeing you work and do the tasks that everyone else is. And the tasks are all like really quick, short, mini games that are like flash games. It's like Simon Says, or just like hit 1 to 10 on a button, or connect wires to each other. It's very like simple, easy to do tasks that pretty much anyone that has like played a flash game or done like spent 5 minutes on a mobile game on their phone can do, which makes it very accessible to everyone because there's not a lot of gamerness needed to play the game. It's all about like sussing people out, and it's more about the interactions between people and discussions versus the being good at a game. And so the imposters go around and they try to kill people. And if a crewmate comes across a dead body, they can report it. And what the reporting does is it brings everyone, stops everyone from what they're doing, if they're doing a task or whatever, brings them in to a discussion forum, and then people like discuss and choose whether they want to vote somebody out of the ship or skip, and if they don't have enough information. And that's where like the majority of the interaction and the fun for watching it is, because you get to see all these people argue and like the imposter try to get themselves out of sticky situations. And of course there's a bunch of other things that come into play, like the imposters can sabotage to make the crewmates have to go to specific places to fix things, and split them up for more advantageous killing areas. There's an emergency button that any crewmate can hit as long as the sabotage isn't going, to call an emergency meeting if, you know, they feel like there's something they need to bring up that they don't want to wait for a body to drop first. It's just very simple once you know the rules, and there isn't a lot of mechanical crazy stuff you have to learn. And instead, it's all about like the interactions and the people. And that's where it gets fun and why it's has a lot of longevity in the Twitch universe, because like there are like certain groups of people that are like constantly playing Among Us now, but like it's also a constantly cycling group a lot of the time, and you might get to see new people or streamers you haven't seen interact before interact with each other, because like somebody will be like, oh hey, I have a friend I can bring in for this game if someone drops out, and like it's all mixing and matching. And so every time you play, because the imposters are random and because who is playing is random, it's always new interactions, and it's fun to watch them all play with each other. So after all that explanation,
yes,
and that's so, and I myself have played it a couple times, like with groups. I tried playing it with randoms, and like the random people are just like it's fun, but it's not fulfilling in the same way like playing it with a group of people you know is. Especially because like randoms don't really use the voice chat; it's just sort of like text chat and like very simple. Like I saw someone do something, okay, and then everyone votes that person, and that's it. Anyway, so last night. Oh, so I guess technically it started 2 nights ago when AOC, the congresswoman, tweeted out that she was interested in playing Among Us with people on Twitch, and as like part of the like the Get Out to Vote campaign she's been doing and Democrats have been doing. And a bunch of people responded. The two main people who like organized everything was Hassan. I don't remember the last name. Hold on, give me a second. I think he's Hassanabi. Oh, he's Hassan the Hun on Twitter. It goes by Hassanabi is his Twitch name. But he's like a political, I think more politically rooted Twitch streamer kind of guy. And then Pokemane? I don't actually know how to pronounce it.
I just heard of this. Pokey is what they always
call Pokey. Yeah, a lot of people call her Pokey. And she's like a very popular... She did Fortnite and League of Legends and other stuff. But she's a very well-known Twitch streamer as well. And so the two of them pretty much did like the heft of organizing it. But last night, it like AOC's team and everything got everything together real good, because like she came up with this idea and was like, hey, does anyone want to stream Among Us and work this for like a get out and vote sort of thing? And like within 24 hours, she had a verified Twitch channel. She had like an offline message and like a bunch of stuff. Like, and she was all set up and had everything ready to go. Like, there wasn't any sort of clerical or like weird computer errors that a lot of people have when, you know, the first time they ever stream. But like, she just had a Twitch channel and was ready to go, and everything worked great. And so, big shout out to like her team and her and everything that got that set up in 24 hours, because that was unbelievable. But her and Ilhan Omar, both of them got into an Among Us lobby along with Pokimane, Hassan, I think Dr. Lupo was there, Jacksepticeye. These are all like YouTubers and Twitch streamers.
Corpse Toast was there at one point.
Yeah. Toast. I think he's like one of the biggest Among Us people, I think, everyone. And there were other people. I can't remember all of them, but and they like switched out a little bit too. There wasn't just the same group the entire night. There were other people. I think at one point Ilhan's daughter was a part of it as well.
Oh.
And H Bomber Guy was on there for a little bit, which we talked about how AOC first showed up on Twitch on his stream last year. And so it was fun getting him to interact with AOC. And he was the first person to actually kill her, which was kind of hilarious. But I'll get to that in a minute. But and so it was amazing to see like this politician who, you know, has been a very like millennial politician. Let's be real here. Like, she's like the one who has most mastered Twitter and social media and like getting the millennials support to use this platform that is mostly for video games to play a video game and be authentically playing a game. While at the same time sort of making sure to talk about like voting and other stuff while she's doing it. And it was not only like good to see as a sort of like crossroads and how politicians and politics treats video games, but it was also just a fucking entertaining stream. Like, she was hilarious, and all the different viewpoints and everything it was actually very entertaining to watch. I watched it live, and I think you said you've been watching clips of it. And like
the majority one right now, like the Washington Post put out a 9-minute like greatest hits clip. So I watched that one on their YouTube feed. And then there's been a couple like, moments here and there that I've also gone back and seen a little bit more of.
Yeah. What did you think from watching it and like you're catching up on Among Us sort of stuff?
So I enjoyed it. So I tend to follow AOC more on like the Twitter itself. And so I had seen, like you said, 24 hours. What she was actually doing was, it took her the first time when she was like, does anyone want to play and stuff? That night she spent setting it up. And so like people were like, let's play right now and everything. And she was saying, no, we'll do it tomorrow. But she downloaded all the Twitch stuff the day before. So she had some time to like set it up. And it seems like she was prepared. Then yeah, when she went in the second time or the second day, like you had told me some of the highlights and I was like, I definitely know it's going to be online. I want to watch it. It was pretty funny. I liked it. Like, it's worth watching, listening to. She's very relatable and like comes across as like in the comments at times I was watching and reading through and like people would say, who is this? Like, there's a lot of people who are like, who is this person? This is pretty funny. Like, not realizing it's AOC. And then there would be a lot of comments below, like sarcastically, or said, it's just another Twitch streamer and such. And then eventually somebody would be like, no, this is a congresswoman. And people would be like, that's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was really
refreshing.
Nice to see, you know, like how authentic she was and like how down, I don't want to say down to earth, but also almost down to earth. Like, it felt like, it didn't feel like it was like someone's grandfather or grandmother sitting down and trying to be hip and learn what the cool kids are doing right now. You know, like, she seemed to fit in almost immediately.
It didn't feel like pandering.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to as a comparison, like, last week, Kinda Funny Games did had like paired with Joe Biden's campaign team to show off Joe Biden's Animal Crossing island.
Oh yeah.
And like, the island itself was cute, and like, it was kind of interesting to see that, and they had like, you know, vote Joe Biden's like things up in front of everyone's houses and like all that stuff. I get it. It was cute, but that felt a lot more like pandering. If you actually believe Joe Biden has played Animal Crossing a day in his life, I don't believe that. Do you think he actually has touched the game?
Like, when I saw that, I didn't assume it's Joe Biden, though, like, doing Animal Crossing. I assumed it's Joe Biden is trying to reach people and his team is doing, like, none of that was advertised as, like, Joe Biden's island, was it?
It was advertised. It was like, we're partnering with Biden's campaign, but they were also saying this is Joe Biden's Animal Crossing island.
See, I read that as like, oh, this is Disney's Animal Crossing Island. And it's like, it's not like Walt Disney or Mickey Mouse's thing. It's just the representatives for the corporation or entity known as Biden.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I get that. And yeah, like, that yeah. is what it was. But at the same time, like, it also feels like,
I mean, if it was like Biden, like, tweeting out or so, like, yo, who's got the good turnip prices or something, that would also feel like way more weird. But, like, yeah. the one that I buy is, like, Joe Biden
getting into the turnip market. Like, can you imagine?
We just need to sell it. Anyway, what Joe Biden did recently, where I was like, I buy it, but it might be pandering, is, like, he went to Dairy Queen and he, like, flips the blizzard over and then sands it back up. And I was like, I believe that. Joe Biden seems to really like ice cream. I buy that he would go to a Dairy Queen. But at the same time, it's all marketing. So I don't know. Maybe they set up the photo op and stuff.
Yeah, like, and I get that, and like, I understand that a lot of campaigning is trying to make your candidate relatable and all that stuff, but like, it felt like this was an idea that he was given to him by like the millennial group of his campaign team, and he might have signed off on it, but I don't feel like he had super input in it, and it didn't feel like it was a part of his, like, it didn't feel authentic in the same way that AOC, like, playing a game with streamers and like chatting and having conversations with people while playing this game and like talking about how the spaceship, why does a spaceship have a combustion engine if yes. we're like out, you know, like, why am I filling up a gas tank for a spaceship? Like, that's sort of like, I don't know. It feels more like she is a person that relates to us, which is what a lot of I feel like is missing for me in politicians and government, especially, you know, now. I feel like I see like average ages of Congress people being like in their 70s and our two presidential candidates being in their 70s and like, they don't have any idea what people in their late 20s, early 30s, like even people in their 40s, like Gen X people, you know, like it's not the same. And it felt good to see a person that was in our age bracket and has gone through the same experiences as us playing a game and not like having it be something unnatural. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if AOC went and played like a baseball game, that might feel a little less unnatural, unless she like marketed herself as like a real big baseball fan or something. I don't know. It's like if I went on a campaign and one of the things I did was go out to a hockey rink and shoot some pucks at a goal. I have never watched a game of hockey in my life. I've ice skated twice, and it would not be authentic. It would not be in my wheelhouse, and it would definitely be pandering. and it just it felt like it matched it. And I wish there were more politicians that I felt this way about. Sorry to get a little off the gaming subject and on the politics side of that, but
I was amused to see that. Yeah, usually you stay away from the politics and stuff, but yeah. And like, I liked also that Ilhan was there as well. Like, we had two congresswomen actually in the game.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just AOC. It was AOC and Ilhan. And it was fantastic because, like, the first round, AOC was the imposter, which was fantastic because everyone was, like, treating her with kid gloves to make sure she, like, stayed alive. And then she just started murdering them. And then, like, Ilhan was the imposter, like, twice in a row. And the first time, she didn't kill anybody, and everyone was like, oh, you know, like, that's cute, and like, oh, you know, she's not trying to kill anybody, and that's nice of her. And then the second time around, she just went on a fucking murder spree, and she was just murdering everybody. Like, she had the bloodlust, and it was just so entertaining to watch this. And I did mention earlier that, like, last year AOC went on H Bomber Guy's Twitch stream where he like did like a Donkey Kong 64 charity stream where he did like 101% of the game, and so they had like interacted before, and it had been like the first time she had been on Twitch, and now this was her first like official Twitch stream, and then he joins in for games later on, and he's the imposter, and he is literally the first person that has, I guess, I don't want to say has the balls to kill her, but kind of like didn't. Just like he went up to her and just murdered her, and she was like, it was just so hilarious to watch because he was just like, I can't even vote in this election. What am I doing here? Why am I killing her? You know, it's very entertaining. Watch the highlights, watch the whole thing if you want to. I'm sure the VOD is up somewhere. It was really nice to watch and really felt like a feel good moment of 2020.
That's where I would say is shit
that's been going on.
The key thing with the episode, or with AOC actually and Ilhan, is they created lots of really good little funny moments, which is, I think, useful on how to connect. It wasn't like you have to go and watch the whole thing. Like, that 9-minute Washington Post video, like, was filled with all these different little scenes. Like, she's very, I don't want to say memeable, but she's good at giving like little 30-second sound bites where it's like, that was pretty funny. Like, I would want to share it or let it go viral or something. And I don't need to spend like an hour and a half or something watching it and stuff. It's definitely worth it. And then because I did that, I went down a wormhole of where I was like, I want to watch more clips of this until I'm pretty much basically watching the whole thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was good. She broke records. I think she was either the second or third most all-time like concurrent viewers of a stream. I think she peaked at around 430,000 viewers. The highest is still Ninja. I think Ninja's stream with Drake was like 600,000, somewhere in there. And I think Shroud, when he came back to Twitch, or I think he had a stream where he hit 500,000, I want to say. And then I think third is AOC with the highest. And I think they said if you counted all the streams together of, like, everyone who was in the lobby playing the streams between AOC and Ilhan and all the other streamers, it was over 500,000 people total watching through different perspectives. So, but like, people can watch multiple streams at the same time, so it's not like as accurate, because like, people may have been having like AOC, I had like 5 different tabs open. I was watching it from all the different perspectives because I wanted to see different people talk about it and how it went down. It was a good like feel good moment, and like, I was very happy watching it. It was a weird feeling to have after like 4 years of just anything political just being a drag on your body. Like, my brain just has gotten to a point where, oh, it's another political crap. 2020 especially has just been like a drag on everything. But it was refreshing to see that like, this is a direction America can go in. if we let it, and if we don't let evil people destroy the country. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote.
Vote fucking Biden. Do the fucking right thing. God damn it. No, this is not a time to be silent. Vote.
I was going to say that.
Vote
Biden. Like, there isn't another
option.
This
isn't a choice.
This is not a multiple choice thing. Vote Biden. Like, in every other year, you know, I would say vote how you feel, vote what, just make sure you vote, you know, you use your constitutional right to vote. But this year, I'm like, I don't want to tell you how to vote, but I am telling you how to vote. Vote for Joe Biden.
Also, I'm completely apologizing. You probably will have to cut that part out because holy shit, I just yelled. I was just like furious on that point. And you, I know it's just bad for actual podcasting, but just bleep it out if you have to. But oh my God. Like when I heard that you took
I was
too
getting
long.
To the
you, this is
yeah,
not
I
the
was
year
getting
to play
to what
with.
I was going
to
say, and you like cut into me and like I'm not going to
as
tell
would
you how
everybody
to vote,
no.
I am going to tell you how to vote, and you just like jumped in like in the middle of it,
like fuck you, no vote, none of this wishy-washy bullshit.
Yeah, there's if you have listened to this podcast over the past 2 years, and we're like we don't talk about politics specifically. But, like, you have sort of figured out where we stand on a lot of issues with what we joke about and what we make fun of and what we, you know, have talked about and what we believe in. And the Republican fucking party is not any of that. And that's just how it is. There, and it's not even there's just no other way to talk about it. Like, the Republican party is made up of a bunch of evil people. And those evil people are in charge of our company. Those people are treating our government like a company right now and burning the country to the ground. And so the evil, I'm not saying Joe Biden is perfect, because his policies are not in line with everything I think about and how I think the country should progress, but there isn't a choice. Like, there isn't a third option. Like, I want there to be a third option. That is one of the things that I want to come to fruition at some point, is get this fucking two-party system out of here because it's bullshit. But right now, in the construct of what we have, vote Joe Biden because we have to. Like, there isn't another choice if we want the USA to stay the United States of America and not just become a fucking shithole. So you want to talk about some video games?
I mean,
do you have anything to add to the political part before we move on?
I don't really. I mean, at this point, you've made up your minds, but I will say that of like, you should vote and you should vote for, you know what we're talking about here.
And let's be honest here. If you're one of those gamers that thinks that white male protagonists are the only good protagonists in video games, and, you know, games shouldn't involve people of color or LGBTQ themes and, you know, emphasize different stories and new stories that go beyond the brown-haired, pale-skinned, white male protagonist with a gun. Why are you listening to this podcast? Because we're not your buds. We don't want you to listen to us. If you're fucking racist, if you use racist, you know, epithets or whatever when you're talking to people in multiplayer games, if you think women can't play games or, you know, casual gaming and Candy Crush is not actual gaming, if you're one of those people that harasses people from anonymous accounts on Twitter or, you know, calls a woman a slut because she has cleavage when she's streaming on Twitch, You know, fuck off. Don't listen to us. I don't want you listening to us.
You can still Venmo me $5. I'll take your money.
Yeah, give us money. But fuck off. I don't want your opinion. Just give us money. Oh, Jesus.
Reaching across the aisle.
For their wallet. But that's it. So
you sent me a video game. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of played a video game.
I guess in the episode you're not releasing, you told me I had homework. So I did my homework.
I don't know if I ever actually mentioned it in an episode. Oh. I think I came up with it after we had recorded. So there isn't, like, I don't think it was mentioned on the podcast, but... I was... sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, let the record show that I did do an assignment for this podcast, though. I was given one, even if it wasn't on the podcast. I did my homework.
And you had 2 weeks to do it.
You don't have to mention that part.
I mean, you've done your homework for other podcasts. Like, whenever I've given you an assignment, you've always done it. Like, I'm not doubting that.
Oh, wait. I'm productive? I actually do. Crap. I need to look more lazy.
Okay. So, basically, I was looking at my Steam library, and I have a very extensive library of games that I bought at some point because I thought they were interesting and were on sale or whatever, and never got around to playing, because that's what you do with a Steam library. You buy games in the Steam sales, and then you never play them because you play other stuff instead. Like, that's what you do with Steam. If you're not doing that, then you're using Steam wrong. And so I picked up on this game called Stasis, which is an indie game that came out, I want to say 2015, 2016, somewhere in there. And I remember getting it at the time because it looked cool. It's an isometric point-and-click horror game. So it's like the puzzle point-and-click adventures, but it's like spooky atmosphere, and it's in like sort of isometric Baldur's Gate-ish style diagonal.
Isometric meaning basically like 2D or like...
Well, so isometric is Baldur's Gate, Diablo, Fallouts, the original Fallouts. That sort of like not like 2D side scroller sort of left and right only movement. You know, like XCOM is isometric in the sense of that, like it's got like a field, and the camera is like above. Anyway, and so I it was only $10 on Steam, and I was like, you know what? It's October. It's a slightly horror-ish game. Why not send it to Harvey? And I've never played it before. He's obviously never played it before. So why don't we both play it and have like a discussion on it? He has 2 weeks to like play it. I looked up how long it would take to beat. It says 7 to 8 hours. I'm like, he can do that in 2 weeks. I can do that in 2 weeks.
My assignment was to beat this game. And I was like, okay, lofty expectations, but fine.
So, we did not beat this game. In fact, I'm pretty sure... How long did you actually play it for?
Ooh, I would say probably... I mean, I could probably look it up exactly, but somewhere around an hour before I got stuck. I was also slow. You know how I play games.
You might have gotten farther than I did, because I think I only played it for like half an hour. We did not play it very much, because I got stuck on a puzzle... And you got stuck on a puzzle.
I'm assuming we got stuck on the same puzzle, but I was just slower at it.
That is also true. Where did you get stuck? Like, walk me through what you did in the game.
Okay, I'm actually looking it up right now of, like, how long did I play? Because maybe it just felt like an hour. I played for 55 minutes. Nope, and I got zero achievements. Okay. So I woke up, all I knew about the game was it was horror and this isometric stuff, but I didn't even know what that word meant. So it was fine. And so I'll skip over the beginning where it was a lot of like, what are the buttons for this game? Do I need to push any buttons? I'm moving my mouse around. Okay. The mouse highlights things. And if I click, I guess I move around. And then I tried every button on my keyboard and none of them worked, I think. Right. Or does is there a keyboard on this game? Because I didn't play it with a keyboard.
As far as I know, I couldn't tell. I don't think there was.
Like, it was so point and click.
I want to jump in a little real quick. Like, when Harvey talked about Stanley Parable and, like, not moving the mouse and, you know, his adventures in that game, that was a little too far, you know, and how you process this game. But when I played this game, I was having the same difficulties of, like, trying to figure out what I could and couldn't do. Like, there were the game, like, drops you into the game, and there's no tutorials, there's no telling you what buttons to press, there's no nothing, and they're not even, like, real good clues as to what you can and can't interact with. Like, you can, like, you'll get stuff, but it's not very clear, and it's very old school in that sense. But, yeah, so it's not like there was something Harvey was missing or anything. It was just like drops you into the game and doesn't give you any context, just go and figure everything out.
And your character is like hurt and you need to heal yourself. That was about it that I knew. And then, like, so the first map, there's lots of stuff to, like, look at. So then I just started reading stuff, which is what I would do. And then I think my character passes out and then they're like, make sure you heal yourself. And it's like, oh, I guess the game is trying to get me on my objective. And so, long story short, I solved the first puzzle. I healed myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wandered around some more, and eventually I unclogged a toilet, and then I broke some glass, and then I fixed some pipes, and then I couldn't go up at the elevator and figure out how to get to the second level.
Okay.
Those were the puzzles.
I did not even get to the fixing pipes part. That's where I got stuck. I didn't know how to fix the pipes.
Did you at least turn the pipe?
Turn what pipe?
There's a pipe that you have to turn three times. Once you do that, I don't know what happens then. Like, nothing changed for me.
Okay.
But, like, I turned the pipe three times. So, like, that was the last puzzle I assumed, where you go into the room with all the fluid tanks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. You go up the stairs, there's a room with fluid tanks. And in it, there's a PDA that says, oh, if you read it, because if you read everything, the game rewards you in that way. One of the emails in this PDA says, like, oh, the pipe is broken, you have to twist it three times. So you leave that room and there's some pipes and you can click on it and it doesn't do anything. If you click it three times, you then twist it, but then nothing opens up or changes. And then I wandered around the whole thing again and I didn't know what to do next then. And all I have I have a needle, a dirty rag, and some broken glass, and I don't know how to solve for the next puzzle.
So did you not pick up the drill?
Where's the drill?
So, like, in the first room, there is, like, in the medical room where you hear yourself, there's two things you can turn on, right? There's the thing that lets you hear yourself, and then, like, the drill thing.
Yes.
Like, if you hit those buttons. So if you turn on the drill and have it extend itself, like, when you try to grab it or, like, interact with it, it contracts back. Did you know that, right?
Yeah, like, I couldn't do anything with that, so I was like, okay. And there's a drill in the other room, but I couldn't pick it up.
Right, so if you extend the arm and then turn the power off again, like, go, like, extend the arm, then go to the thing, turn it off, go back to the drill, you can take the drill off the arm.
Oh.
So see, I was missing the, I was trying to find something to turn in the room. I didn't think to go back to the previous room. Like, I was wandering around that entire lab, like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't find anything to turn off. I didn't realize there to go back a room. Like, I thought so it was going to be it.
If I so get
between the two of us,
I think we solved this fucking thing. I'm excited. So wait, if I get that drill, I feel like I have to go back to that fluid room and use the drill to, like, break the fluid containers or something.
Yeah, maybe. Like, that might be... I feel like that... Because, like, I couldn't do anything with the drill when I had it. And so I'm wondering maybe if combining those two things, maybe?
Because, like, I don't know why twisting the pipe did something, but it does something. And then I know if there's a leak, it'll reset all of the security systems. But I couldn't make a leak with, like, my glass shard. It was like, this won't do anything to break the pipes.
Yeah. So the drill can probably make the leak.
Ooh.
That makes sense. between the two of us, with our powers combined, we've gotten ourselves possibly unstuck.
Question. What the fuck was up with the clogged toilet? Like, I just have a dirty rag.
Yeah, that was weird.
I just have a dirty rag that I clogged the toilet and unclogged
like,
the toilet.
I was just, like, checking stuff, and then I clicked on the toilet, and the guy's like, oh, that's gross, and I suddenly have a rag in my inventory. I'm like, why the fuck are you fishing in toilets, dude? Like, what's going on with this?
See, I tried to use it to clog the sink. You can't do that. Like, I just went around then because I was like, all I have is glass and, like, a dirty rag. So I just put the dirty rag on everything and nothing, like, works with it. Because I was like, oh, I need to cause a leak. Maybe I'm supposed to, like, this game's horror element, I'm supposed to just, like, clog the toilet system to create a leak. And so I'm like,
yeah,
this is a weird...
that's the real horror is clogged toilets.
Okay.
All right. Well, so that's good. So... as you can see, we didn't get very far in this game to give a better review of it. We will probably like slowly work our way through this and kind of do updates. I'm not going to try and force Harvey to beat it all in one session or anything. Well, especially since it seems like a puzzler. And you had the idea of like both of us play this separately. And if we get stuck, we can only use each other to figure stuff out.
I like this now because we actually... I think it was productive. Like, we fucking solved stupidly the wrong puzzles each.
That's okay. I'm down for this. So Harvey and T-Man's continuing adventures in Stasis. and like I said, the game, that's the game's name. It's on Steam for $10. If you like, I can't give an actual review of it yet because I don't think we're even out of the real intro area yet.
That's why I felt like an idiot. You gave me this assignment.
Like point and click adventures that my skills are rusty, apparently.
Like, you gave me this assignment and you're like, beat this game. And I was like, I got stuck on level one and I don't want to admit it, but yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and then I texted you and I'm like, don't worry about beating it. I didn't get very far.
No, you texted me and you were like, oh, I wasn't interested in this game. And I was like, damn, he must have like beaten it or it was so easy. Here I am still on level one. No, you were fucking stuck too.
Well, so, okay. It wasn't just getting stuck that bothered me. The thing that bothered me the most is because, like, so I was famously trying to multitask, which I guess is a bad thing to try and do when you're doing a point-and-click adventure. But I had a stream up that I was watching on one of my monitors, and I was trying to play Stasis on the other one and just kind of, like, have, like, a sort of, like, dual experience where I could like watch the stream I was interested in while also like playing the game. And there aren't any fucking settings in the game. Like the music is just loud.
I think there's settings outside of the game. Like when I launch the game, there's a little like option for it. But once you start the game, it doesn't. But there's a little pop up of like before you pop it, like before you play. It's like there you can configure, but it's real simple. Like there's no instructions for buttons or anything. It's like sound and like size of windows.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's probably what I missed because I was in the game and I was like going to like menus and stuff trying to figure out how to turn the sound down and I couldn't. And, like, just the fact that, like, there weren't any control instructions and you couldn't do anything in the menus and there weren't any setting adjustments. Like, it was getting on my nerves a little bit when I was trying to, like, I was trying to make this, like, an easy thing to do. And the game was fighting me from, like, the get-go. And then once I got stuck on a puzzle, I'm like, ah, fuck it. Like, okay, whatever. You know, like, turned it off in a huff. But now I feel like we can go into this with a better plan. This is on me for thinking I was trying to spice up the stream, you know, and do some variety. And like we can talk about a game on the fly that, you know, probably hasn't got a lot of attention. And like we're fucking stuck on the first puzzle. God damn it.
And like meanwhile, it's me playing. So, like mine playing, it's just like, I'm going to look at everything, I'm going to read everything, and I'm going to be super anal. I have a wet cloth. I guess I'm going to rub it on everything to see if this does anything. Nope.
Oh, man. So you pulled a cloth out of a toilet and then rubbed it on everything in the entire place.
Because I couldn't solve the game, goddammit. So it's just like, I have to use the tools I have. So rub, 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 rub. Nope, nope.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, that's it for this week's episode. I feel like that was a good episode. We had
I weirdly have to go. I'm getting a weird phone call, so I have to go, dude. Ah, fuck. Oh, they hung up. I have to call them back. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, this was Make Me a Gamer. you could find him at The Z is Silent. You can find me at Teen Man Plays Games and our podcast at Make Me a Podcast and email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com and find my writings at tmanwrites.com. Take it away, Harvey Z. You have a phone call. Okay, goodbye. Are you still there? Nope, he's gone. All right, well, I guess I'm just talking to myself. Did he stop recording? Interesting. Okay.